it is to the Lord, to have the Lord show me how weak I truly am. I often ask my Lord and Savior for help in my daily walk. I presume that most of you who know the Lord do probably the same. Our prayers, are they not a majority of the time for ourselves? For it is ourselves that we see our innermost parts of, the weakness that is within us. I pray for those of Marysville, our brother Rick having his first live stream right now, Lord willing. That's all going well, I pray. You know, they've lost their place of worship. They were worshiping at the library there in Marysville, and the library's been closed due to this virus. And Rick mentioned in the letter that he received from the county, they said, we will reconsider our agreement after this is all over, giving Rick the indication that they may not reopen to him again. So we want to pray for our brothers and sisters. I've become pretty good friends with Kevin Thacker down in San Diego, and they've actually been told not to meet. And though Kevin records his messages and sends them out on YouTube at 11 o'clock, when he goes down to record, some of the members show up anyway. And just like some of you folks, you know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that we have some of our members staying home. Be quite honest with you, I'd be very worried about Polly Mary right now. I pray for her. I pray for our brother Mike Lovelace and his wife Shirley. I pray for Donna and her husband. Many of our folks, and I'm not saying that any of us are any braver than the other or anything different. But like I mentioned a moment ago, we don't go jump off the bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge. But we don't worry about the things that we can't do anything about. And this virus is something that we really can't do a whole lot about. We do what we can. We separate ourselves. We stay away from each other. But I can tell you here right now, after shopping in the store yesterday, we're a whole lot more protected in what we're doing right here today than what you are when you go grocery shopping. One of us are going to get the virus. It's already been marked in God's book. Our days are numbered. And the day that we will leave this world has already been set in stone. And nothing can change it. But I do often pray for my Lord to help me in my daily walk. My strength indeed is small. My prayer is this, in many of my personal private prayers in the closet time of my heart, Lord, not my will, but thine. That's a hard thing to do. It's a very hard thing to do. Our will is always trying to jump up and do this and do that. To rest in the Lord is one of the hardest things I know to do as a Christian. Oh, I believe God. I believe His Word. I believe that that belief is a gift from Him. Yet I still struggle with my own thoughts of strength. The child of the living God is born again. Born of a new spirit, a new will. One that bends. One that bends to the will of Him who created all that is. There was a day in every one of our past where we walked through this world, through this valley of the shadow of death, saying, it's my will. I will decide on what I'm going to do this Sunday. I'm going to go party. I'm going to go ride the Harley. I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to watch football. Whatever it is you wanted to do, that was an exercise of your will. And you willingly walked against the will of God. Oh, you didn't stop the will of God, for nothing can turn the will of God. But we thought we were. We were walking under our own power, doing our own thing the way we wanted to do. It was some time ago, I brought up the subject of Elvis Presley's song, I Did It My Way. Oh, we all thought that, didn't we? What a blessing. What a miracle that the Lord gave us a new spirit. That the Lord arrested that old stony heart that would not bend its will to Him and gave us a heart that does. One that bends to Him who created all it is, a will that willingly submits to the rule of Him who rules despite the imagination of men. I often ask this question, Lord, make your will known unto me. I'd like to ask you this morning if you would to turn to the 6th chapter of John. Lord, make your will known unto me. As I stated in last week's message titled Our Faith, true answers to any question must begin with God's Word. This book that our Lord has inspired men to write and publish and put together, and yes, even interpret. This book is a gift of God to speak to each and every one of His children. Throughout time, not just a particular time, but throughout time. However long time might be. When we have questions about anything, we must place the basis for our answers on God's Word. This book is our only source of truth in this cursed world that we walk in. Men believing that they have their own wisdom, that they've discovered truth, yet without the basis of God's Word, their imagination comes up with all sorts of single truths. Am I not correct? One of the most ridiculous things I can believe anybody would think. It just is the most ridiculous, foolish thing that has ever been invented, and that is that a man can be a woman or a woman can be a man. I'm not even talking about the sexual part of it. I'm talking about somebody who thinks they're a woman just because they want to be a woman, even though God made them a man. You cannot change the DNA. I don't care what you do to the outside of this body, your insides are still the same. And that includes life and death in the heart. Their imaginations come up with all sorts of things that they call truths. Let me tell you a truth. Let me share a truth with you. In John chapter 1 verse 14, listen to these words. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John the Baptist came speaking of this one called Jesus. He came as one crying in the wilderness, heaven is at hand. In John 5:33 we read this, ye sent unto John and ye bear witness unto the truth. When we seek to know something, to gain knowledge of any particular point or subject, our only trust of this knowledge must be from Scripture. Based on what Scripture tells us, I ask you, what saith the Word? Let me give you an example. When we understand the true heart of men, we can see a different reasoning behind what men do. I said a moment ago that thinking you're a woman when you're a man, or thinking you're a man when you're a woman, is the most ridiculous thing ever. But when we have been brought to the point to realize how wicked our hearts are, how wicked they were at one time when the Lord did not dwell in them, can we not understand how we could have been just as wicked as that ourselves? Were we not in that same boat as all who walk this earth? God tells us in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our Lord tells us in John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But not all believe that truth, do they? In the 10th chapter of John, again, we read in verse 24, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered, and he says, I told you, but ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep. So I ask this question. Lord, make thy will known. We must first understand this point of where it is that we find truth and why it is we believe this word as truth. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, we read this. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that's through belief, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. How is it that we believe these truths? Because God has taken up residence in a new heart. We must look to His Word as the basis of all truths, and we praise Him for His grace and His mercy in revealing His truths to us, rather than leaving us to our own imaginations, as many are. As we look into the Word of God, we see there are two types of what we would call God's will. His providential will and His revealed will. I want to first talk this morning about His hidden will. His secret will, as some may call it. His will of providence. Let me ask you this question. Do not all things come to pass by His will? Is He God of all things? Or has He just let some things come to pass as they would be by chance maybe? Does He just leave up to creation to run its own course, as many think so? Let me give you an answer to that. And the answer is from God's Word. Isaiah 14:24, our Lord says this. In fact, you know what? Read along with me, would you? Do you have your bulletins with you this morning? It's right here on the front of the bulletin. Read these words with me. Let these words soak into the hearts of His people, because this is our peace, folks. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. As it is written, thus saith the Lord. From cover to cover in this book that He has given us, everything that has, everything that is, and everything that will come to pass is by His providential hand. He's God. He's God. He's not some God. He's not a God. He is God. We don't worship somebody who doesn't have all power. If we're worshiping somebody who doesn't have all power, we're wasting our time. We worship Him who is God. And all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture tells us that if we don't worship the Son, then we don't worship the Father. Let me give you an example of some hidden will of God. When Joseph was given the coat of many colors, and his father allowed him to go out to see his brothers, and his brothers took him in jealousy, and they threw him in a pit. First they threatened to kill him, then they threw him in a pit, and then they sold him to the Ishmaelites, I think it was. And they took him down into Egypt. He went into Egypt. They sold him to the Egyptians. The Egyptians began to treat him as a slave. Some things happened. He was thrown into a prison. He was able to interpret the dream that the king of Egypt had. And he became the most powerful man behind Pharaoh. He had the keys to all the storehouses of Egypt. You think if Joseph thought he was going to have to go through all that to get to that he would have willingly gone that, saying, oh, that's God's will? He would have if God wanted him to, but God didn't want him to. Those are things that happened to him just as the things that happened to you and I in life happen. There's that saying that things happen. We know who controls things. We know who rules things. And it is by His secret, providential will that all things come to pass. When Jonah ran from the Lord, our Lord had the power to stop him, didn't He? He had the power to change the heart of Jonah. Yet Jonah ran from the Lord, ran down to the city by the sea, got on the boat, went out of the boat, and was thrown overboard. Are you seeing the providential secret will of God? 9/11 was providence of God. This virus that we are experiencing in today's world, which really is severe to you and I, but it's not as severe to things that have happened before. This virus, these are in samples of His will not revealed in His Word. Even though the story of Israel going down into Egypt was foretold to Abraham, the details of Joseph were not. Knowing that our Lord in His providence works all things out for the good to those that love Him, to those that are called. Knowing that very fact in God's Word, believing God's Word in that very fact, we have peace because our God rules in all things. But my opening statement was this: Lord, make Thine will known unto me. And He does. He does reveal His will throughout His Word. But nowhere is it more clear than right here in John chapter 6. Look at verse 36 with me if you would. But I said unto you, our Lord speaking, that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will. There's no interpretation here. This is God's Word, folks. This is the will of God right here. This is the Father's will which has sent me, that all which He hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. I'm here this morning to tell you this. The revealed will of God is to glorify the Son of the living God. God the Father chose a people, chosen from before the world was ever made, a people that would be redeemed by the sacrificial blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God Almighty in the flesh sacrificed Himself for His people. And as one of His children, as one of His people, I sing glory and praise to my Lord and Savior. Because I know what I deserve. I know what I have earned. And I know that all that I have earned has been placed on my Savior, the Lord Jesus. In the day of His love, we're talking about glorifying the Son. In the day of His love, He called us by the regenerating, life-giving power of His Holy Spirit. Turn over to the 2 Peter, if you would, chapter 3. You recall in verses 39 and 40, our Lord repeated Himself. 39 and 40 of John chapter 6. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which He hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. And then He repeated Himself almost word for word. Not quite, but almost. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up the last day. Our Lord says in John 3:16, whosoever believeth in me shall have everlasting life. Folks, if God in the flesh, if the Lord of all glory, if the Creator of all that we can see and all that we can't see tells us something twice, do you think we ought to consider it important? Let me remind you of the words that were already spoken in the book of Isaiah. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. It was the will of God to send His only begotten Son to stand as the substitute, the scapegoat, the sacrifice, the propitiation, the atonement for His people. He set His love upon this people before a star ever twinkled in the sky. Their names were written, scribed in the palms of His hands. He has loved them with an everlasting love. What is the will of God for me, I ask? The will of God is that I should be His, is what we read. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up the last day. What is the will of God for me? I can tell you this. I had no idea it was to be a pastor in a church at the age of 60. I had no idea it was even to be going to a church on a weekly basis to praise and worship the Lord at the age of 40. I had no idea that a pastor would ask this man who thinks he can't sing at all, and really probably can't, would be asked to lead singing, that I might learn what it would be to stand in a pulpit. You remember, some of you may recall that I spoke on this many years ago. I used to sit down just after leading a song or give a devotion, a 10-minute devotional for the opening of the Bible study. You've seen our Bible studies. They're scarce. People are not here. Not too many people are here. I would shake so bad, my wife would sit there and have to calm me. I was so scared. I could not believe that I would ever be standing before groups of people and preaching, let alone leading singing. But God's will for me, His hidden will, was that John would go through a terrible trial, one that would bring him to this very church, seeking the love and comfort of a brother, but yet hearing for the first time the gospel of Christ and Him crucified. What is the will of God for me? I don't know in this world. I don't know what tomorrow holds in store. I know this, that all things. So whatever the Lord has in store for me this afternoon, whatever He has in store for me tomorrow, if tomorrow or today is the day that I am to leave this world, hallelujah, glory to our God. If I have to live to be 100 years old and preach the gospel every week, 3 times a week, hallelujah, praise be to God. If I have to learn how to cook fresh meat out of a barrel because power is no longer here, God help my wife if I ever have to go for 2 weeks without a shower. But if I have to go through those things, then it be God's will. What is God's will for you? We have no idea what it might be in this world, but we do know what it is for eternity. What is the will of God for me? That I should be His. That I should spend eternity in personal communion with Him. This is how Scripture says it. Remember, we look to God's Word for answers. If God be for me, if God be for us, who or what can be against us? We may not know His providential will for us here on this earth, but we can most definitely know His revealed will. In the third chapter of 2 Peter, the apostle deals with 4 specific things. He mentions the reason for writing this epistle. He foretells that there will be scoffers in the last days who doubt the coming of Christ. He describes the coming of the Lord and the destruction of the earth. And he closes with the use that we should make with the knowledge of these things. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. He says, I stir up your minds, your pure minds, by way of remembrance. Perhaps maybe a better word for pure is sincere. We are sincere in worship of God, in the faith of Christ, and in love to one another. Yet we need to be constantly stirred up to the remembrance of the doctrines of Christ, the duties of believers and the promises of our Lord and Savior, not only because we're still human and prone to forget, but because we need the constant preaching of the Word to grow, to be spiritually mature. I'd like to bring out 2 quick points, 2 things especially. The words spoken by the holy prophets. That is, the prophets of Old Testament. Because remember, this is a time when the Old Testament was all they had. The New Testament had not been completed yet. They were men of God. They spoke of Christ in promise, in prophecy, and in type. And the commandment of the Lord Jesus given through us, His apostles, His preachers, His teachers, and perhaps maybe one of two things or both are referred to here in these words. His commandment to preach the gospel, or maybe His commandment to love one another. Referring to what we just read there, being mindful of the words that were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now verses 3 and 4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now we know from the writing of the apostles that in the last days men will mock, and they will make a mockery of sin. Is that not what is going on in our very world today? They will jeer and mock all religion. Oh, there's those religious people who put all their hope and trust in a ghost. They'll jeer and they'll mock all religion. They will mock ministers of the true gospel. They will reject the gospel of grace, especially will they mock the second coming of Christ, the resurrection of the dead, the torments of hell, and the joys of heaven. They'll be a people who walk after their own desires and do their own thing according to their lusts. The object of their scorn is Christ and the promise of His return. The reason that many years have come and gone, everything is the same and nothing has changed from the beginning of creation. They will willingly ignore three of these things. They overlook the fact that it was by the word of God that all things were created. They ignore that. They overlook that. They ignore that the heavens came into existence by the word of God. They say that it just came in by some big bang theory, something of their own imagination. By the way, that's been proven not possible. The heavens came into existence by the word of God, and the earth was formed out of the waters by the word of God. God created it all, and by Him it remains to this day. They overlook the fact that God once did destroy the world by water. Destroyed it as it existed. The earth was covered by water by the command of God. And by His command it was removed. All things have continued as they were since then. They forget by the same word which created the world, it is also sustained. It's kept intact. If our Lord removed His hands of sustainment, everything would just either disappear or explode or go whatever. It is by His hand that we are held. It is by His hand that the winds blow the way they blow, is it not? These things that our Lord keeps intact, they ignore, are reserved for destruction. Our Lord will not destroy the world again by water, but He will by fire. Verses 8 and 9 we read, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The apostle is here addressing the believers again, calling them beloved. Let these men scoff and mock all that they will around us. The length of time that has passed since the promise of Christ's coming has no significance to you or to I. Do we think it's getting close? It's closer today than it was yesterday. How's that? Could this be the end of time and our Lord coming back tomorrow? When we die and leave this earth, we become immediately in the presence of Lord God Almighty, do we not? I've often asked myself, could that not be considered the end of all time right there for me? If I'm in the presence of the Lord, there is no more time, right? Since the longest term of time is nothing with God, however important that it may be to men, besides the reason his coming is being deferred as a long suffering of God toward his elect, he is unwilling that even one of his chosen children, even one that he shed his blood for, should perish. For they shall all be brought to repentance and faith. And you can read that in John 6, 37 through 39. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. His coming shall be sudden at an hour when you think not, and the entire world shall be destroyed with fire, as we read in Matthew 24. Continuing on in verses 11 and 12, seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in a holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Folks, believing that the earth and all therein, whether of flesh, nature, or art, will be utterly destroyed. What manner of persons ought we to be knowing these things? Certainly we should not be as the scoffers who ridicule the gospel and the day of his wrath, nor as the indifferent professors of religion, nor as the materialistic minded people of this world, but we should be as holy, thinking of Christ, believing on Him, trusting on Him, as holy and sincere and dedicated men waiting for the Lord's return, hearing, reading, living soberly and righteously as we can. Verse 13 and 14, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. That we would be found according to His promise. We look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness for all those who are in Christ. Therefore, only one thing. Therefore, the only thing that should really concern us is to be found in Christ. Isn't that what it's telling us? Be found in Him. Where is your belief this morning? Is it in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Or is it in something that you have done? Our Lord said on that cross, it is finished. And to all of God's people, it is finished. We rest in Him. Verses 15 and 16, in account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understood, hard be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, before beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now consider that long suffering of our Lord and Savior. or the delay, as you may say, of his coming. It is for the salvation of his chosen ones. Why is our Lord taking so long to come back again? Look at the world around us. Lord, now the world is ripe for your return, right now. Our Lord may have some of his elect still to save. There may still be a woman in the world or the world to come who needs to touch the hem of his garment. One who looks to the Savior for her salvation. Or another that goes to a well. Another that goes to a well to pick up, to draw water from and meets the Lord. Or another who's flat out of his wits, living in the tombs, of whom the Lord must come to. Maybe it's one of our loved ones. Oh, what a hope we have. What trust we have, knowing that there's nothing we can do to save our loved ones. But if it's his purpose, if it's his will, if he is not willing, then it shall not, then he shall lose none. Would you agree?
Amen.
What a hope we have for our loved ones. Let's read 17 once again and close with 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from our own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Beloved, he says, you are aware of these mysteries that God has revealed to you. Stand in them. Be not led away by those who preach another gospel. Not only are we to stand, but we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ, to whom be all the glory. What is the will of him who formed me in my mother's womb? Verse 9 makes it very clear. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, not willing that any of his elect should perish, not willing that any of his chosen children should perish. So much not willing that he gave himself for us. And as I've already once said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. My thankfulness, folks, my thankfulness to my Lord and Savior is not sufficient. My praises to my Savior is not sufficient. My worship is not sufficient. But he who rules all that is not willing that I should perish. My title for today's message is Not Willing. If God is not willing for you to perish because you were chosen from before the world was, because you were in Christ when he hung on that cross, if he's not willing for you to perish, nothing can separate us from the love that is in Christ. He's not willing that I should perish, but I should come to repentance. What love, what grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The will of Him who created me is this: to know the potter. To know the potter who creates some vessels unto honor and other vessels unto destruction. Knowing the things that the Lord has shown my heart, the truths of His world, of His word, I can sing this when the roll is called up yonder. I'll be there. How about you? Stand with me if you will.